Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Want to tell the story of your small business? Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today's story, finding a name for your small business might involve hiring someone known as what's called a professional namer. These people position themselves as word experts. That story after this. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan. What goes into naming a new company? A lot, as it turns out, and it might even involve input from a professional namer, perhaps an entrepreneurial job you've never heard of. After all, who wants their company moniker to be a laughingstock on Twitter? Consultants give companies lots of naming options while making sure the final choice rolls off the tongue and works well in the global marketplace. It's a story by Mark Peters, language columnist at the Boston Globe. Mark, what did you find?
Well, I kind of stumbled on a interesting topic that was certainly not new to the world of parents or corporations, but was new to me, the concept of professional namers, which is kind of a interesting job, a type of professional writer, which I am too, but professional namers kind of do things a little differently, right? Because I'm writing basically sentences, paragraphs, articles, maybe a book once in a while.
Yeah.
But for the professional namer, they're just working on such a more micro level, basically coming up with lists of single words,
right,
names.
Right.
And so it's kind of I found it to be kind of a fascinating profession, especially since I'm a big word nerd.
Right.
And I just found sort of the comparison between picking the perfect word for your robust little app and your darling child to have quite a few things in common.
What, by the way, goes into calling oneself a professional namer?
Well, that's a good question. I think basically just having done the work entitles you to it, but the background of the people, it seems like people that are word nerds of some sort, lexicographers. Interestingly, the two professional namers that I talked to, Maggie Balstieri and Richard Loringer, both have a background as poets.
Wow.
Which, yeah, I thought that was kind of, and Maggie told me that that's kind of a common thing, even though I would say product naming and, writing a poem would seem to be the farthest realms apart possible.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that close attention to language, to words, there's kind of something in common there that helps.
Would not want to play Scrabble with one of those folks, I don't think.
They would be tough. They would be tough.
So explain, like, on the corporate side of things, what goes into a naming process, because what I thought was interesting, too, is that these folks have to convince some companies that the name of a company has to have room to grow, which I had not considered.
Yes, that was an interesting concept to me. Now, companies and companies will have obviously names for all sorts of things, for the company itself or products or departments, what have you. And they'll have ideas about what they'd like it to, what message they'd like it to convey. But yes, one of the things that both namers point out to me is that there's a lot of value in a name that's suggestive rather than literal or explicit.
Yeah.
A classic example, I guess, one of the most successful companies in the world, obviously, is Apple. which turned out to be a tremendous name because it allowed so much room for growth. Mm-hmm. So many things you could peg to it. If they had started as a literal Apple company, it could have been a little restrictive.
Right, right. Same thing, I guess, if they had called themselves the computer company.
Yeah.
Or the smartphone company. Yeah.
So the insight I've gotten into the naming process from these folks, you know, they come up with these just big lists. They go through different rounds. They might come up with hundreds and hundreds of possibilities, going down different pathways, playing with words, changing words by a letter.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fascinating process. One of the myths about it that they told me, too, is that when they tell people about naming, sometimes people assume it's all about, like, they're looking for the perfect name, that it's all about coming up with one name. But it seems like it's more of a bulk enterprise because, you know, the company is obviously the one that's going to ultimately select it. And it's more about giving them a nice menu of selection rather than racking your brain to get that
right.
that perfect name.
We're speaking with Mark Peters, language columnist at the Boston Globe. He's written an interesting piece entitled When Naming, Do a Disaster Check. I also learned, too, that Amazon was almost not named Amazon.
Yes, that was something that came up in my research. And it's actually, the original name, Relentless, boy, that is kind of hard to say, which I also learned is a bad thing to name because people are going to be saying it.
Right.
So that could have been one knock against it. But apparently, Bezos?
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
He was talked out of it that Relentless perhaps sounded a little sinister, a little too aggressive. And I guess the train of thought was the Amazon River kind of had a little of that relentless feeling, but that just sounded better. And obviously, it's been a huge success, but also, if you go to relentless.com, it will take you right to Amazon.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Peters, language columnist at the Boston Globe. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com, as well as on places like iTunes and SoundCloud. Those are also places, by the way, where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.